Just take your Bibles, and if you would turn to Matthew chapter 14. I want to talk to you this morning about calming the storms of life. The Sea of Galilee is about 13 miles long, and it's about 8 miles wide. And have you ever sat in the safety of your home or of another building and watched a thunderstorm? It can be pretty awesome. There's torrential rain, lightning flashing across the sky, and sometimes gale force winds. But from the protection and comfort of your home, watching a thunderstorm is easy. Sometimes it's even thrilling. But it's another thing when your boat is in the middle of the sea, rocking violently, and the waves and the rain is pelting your face. Okay. Then your life's in danger, and you feel the danger. Then what is fascinating from a distance can set a panic in your heart. And with good reason, because your boat is in risk of capsizing in the middle of a sea. Sometimes life gets like that. And that was the situation that the Lord Jesus was in when you get to Matthew chapter 14, where he came walking to his disciples on the water. And in verse 21 it says, "And when they had eaten, there were about 5,000 besides men," or besides women and children. And this is one of the times that the Lord Jesus fed. It's recorded in the Word, about 5,000, sometimes more. Verse 22 says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away." Matthew 14, 22. Verse 23. "And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone." So he told his guys to go yonder, and then he went and he prayed. Verse 24. "But the ship that the disciples were in was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." Before we read the next verse, I want to talk to you about a watch that we're going to read about. In the Old Testament, they had three watches. And the watch was, they would post a guard, make sure everything was fine. And they divided the nighttime up where you would need a watch, say if it got dark at 8 o'clock and the sun came out at 6, they would divide from 8 to 6 up into three watches. And they would set somebody to take care of that. In the New Testament, when the Romans were in rule, the Romans used a four-watch system. So instead of dividing the night into three, they would divide the night into four. And the Jews under Roman rule adopted the four-watch system. The first of the four watches would be dusk, and the last of the four watches would be just before daybreak. And you had your time in between. In verse 25, it says, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea." Now, the sea was tossed with waves, according to the previous verse, right? But see, that didn't bother Jesus. He went unto them walking on the sea. And he did it in the fourth watch of the night. So right before daybreak came. So if it was a 6 o'clock sunrise, somewhere between maybe 2 and 6. He came walking on the sea to them. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. Have you ever been to the place where you were afraid and you've cried out because you just don't quite understand something? Right? Yes. Things happen like that. It says they were troubled. Troubled, the word in the Greek, it means they were agitated. They were bothered. The word trouble means to have an inward commotion. You know, just the stuff that you go through in life that bothers you on the inside. And it's there, and it keeps bothering you. Excuse me. The word trouble means to take away the calmness of mind, to disquiet you, to make you restless. It disturbs your peace. See? And if you live in life long enough, you go through these kinds of things. Life's going to present to you problems where you're going to go and you're going to be troubled. And the challenge then is to be able to continue walking on in life, going through this kind of stuff, and applying the word of God so you can become victorious, or you'll be a victim. Okay. In this fallen world, everybody will face a storm of life of some sort. It's not necessarily waves. Sometimes it's a physical challenge. See? And that's troubling. And that's your storm. Sometimes it's a relational problem with family or friends. There's trouble. There's agitation there. Things just aren't going the way they should go. Sometimes it's financial. Financial burdens and obligations. Or there's other issues. And these adversities that we face, they're hard. And they hurt. See, just because you're a believer and a Christian doesn't mean you're devoid of feelings. As a matter of fact, if you are devoid of feelings, you're in worse shape. See? Because then you can't have compassion for others. You can't appreciate what others are going through. Look at verse 26. The disciples saw him walking on the sea and they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for what? But straightway Jesus spake to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Have you ever cried out to God for fear? Right? The words that Jesus spoke that night, he's still speaking to you today. Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. He's still speaking those words today. Look at verse 28. And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee under the water," or on the water. And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." See? And that was just so remarkable with what Carmen was sharing this morning. Jesus, save me. Jesus, help me. Because Peter had enough brains to know that he was in bad shape. And he cried out and he said, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. And there's another great truth. Jesus isn't waiting there to beat you with a bat, or look at you and say, "I'm ashamed of you." He stretched forth his hand. See, when you call on the name of Jesus, when you use the name of Jesus, he's still there. And he's still there to stretch forth his hand. And he caught him, and he said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? We heard that in prayer and manifestation, to take it by faith. Okay? And when they were come into the ship, the wind what? When you belong to the one who is able to calm the storms of life, you're in good hands. When trouble hits, sometimes we find ourselves wondering, where is God? Okay. But he's always there, as he always was. Sometimes we just forget to look in the right direction. And we try to do things and fix things and work things out and think things through. And sometimes the longer we do that, the deeper and the do we get. Look at Matthew chapter 8. There's another record where Jesus calmed the storms of life. Calm the storms of physical storm where death presented itself. You have to have patience if you're going to see the word of God come to pass in your life. Lord wants you to know that this morning. No matter what trouble you're going through, no matter what circumstance or situation, you have to have patience, because the devil doesn't release right away. If the devil's got a hold of something and you tell him out in the name of Jesus, a lot of times he's not going to leave right away. He's going to dig his feet in and he's going to try to convince you that you don't have that power and authority. What he's going to do is he's going to try to convince you to doubt. And then what you got to do is be patient and faithful and stay put on the word of God. And if you don't have patience from your journey from A to Z and all everything in between, that's where the devil's going to fight you. And just because you're a believer and just because you're doing your best doesn't mean that he's not going to throw something new into the mix. And then throw something new into the mix. And then throw something else new into the mix. See? But you have to have patience. About 6 weeks ago, I took a job in my shop. A very expensive job. Over $10,000. And one of the things that we were going to do with this particular vehicle, the vehicle's a $100,000 vehicle, was we were going to send it out and have it sandblasted. Now the vehicle is made of aluminum, it's made of metal, and it's made of fiberglass. Okay, it's an H1 Alpha Hummer, military edition. So the person we sent to have it sandblasted, we sent it up there, and he destroyed the vehicle. He sandblasted the windshields. He sandblasted the side glass. He stayed too long on the hood with the gun and dug gullies and holes in the hood. Hood's $18,000. Right? And when they went to pick it up and bring it back, I'm looking at this vehicle now. And I'm teaching fellowships and loving people. Staying composed all this time. Now at the same time, about a week or two later, I go through a several thousand dollar check issue with a person that just, whatever. So they add that into the mix. Okay? So I call the guy. He says, oh, I'll take care of it. Can I have some time? And me being a nice guy, I'll say, sure. And make a long story short, because this isn't the point of the teaching, it's just an illustration, that after 3 or 4 weeks, he comes down. I write down exactly what he needs. I write the NAGS number down. I write the serial numbers. This is what I want. This is what the guy wants. He comes down. He starts to take the glass out. He breaks the glass. He shows me the new glass, and the new glass says Toyo on it. Well, it's not an AM General, I can tell you that. It's aftermarket Toyo Japanese, and you get a picture of Godzilla when you buy these windshields. It's like putting plastic back in. So I got all these different things on. But see, all the way along, the adversary's throwing different things at me. And the person I'm dealing with, if you looked up the word idiot, he wouldn't be under there. He'd be under mega idiot. Right? Now, you got to understand that a Hummer half glass, okay, is $1,800 per side. It's $1,800 per side. And you got two of them. Can you add that up? And then you got side glasses. Then you got the rubbers. They're $800 that he messed up around the glass. And then you got a left light. That's $300. So, but here's the kind of person I am. I'm going to make this right, no matter what. Now, I have insurance, and I'll turn it in if I have to. But I'm working through this guy, and everything that possibly could be done to antagonize me and agitate me, up until even having two Norristown police come with squad cars, and one was a canine division, saying this guy wants his glass back, because I wouldn't let him put the glass in, so they just pull up, right? But anywhere along those problems, if I would have just blew it, or gave up, or let the adversary agitate me, and they kept throwing me. One of the things I had to do was I blocked the guy's number because he was just kept agitating me. So I just blocked his numbers. So it was, he did this, I did this, he did. And then I prayed. I said, Father, what do I do? And God said, because I didn't want him in my garage anymore, and I had his glass there. I wasn't putting that junk in. God said, tell him to call UPS and send UPS to pick up the glass so you don't have to deal with him. And that was one of the things during that period of time that I needed an answer, and that just set my whole day and it calmed everything down. How much of a better answer could you have than that? You don't want to see the guy. It's his glass. I don't want to keep it. And the Father said, just tell him, send you UPS. Tell them to pick it up. Okay? But during this time, you just have to go through things. So it may look like something's going well, but the adversary is still alive and he still hates us. And he's going to throw something back at you. But you can't cower and run and hide. You have to say, okay, Father, what do I do? And then you have to be patient and you have to wait on God. And that's what I'm talking about, patience. I've had to have patience over a course of 6-7 months or weeks. And result was, I got a hold of an insurance company, his insurance company, and they paid for the glass. The bill was $40-some hundred just for the glass. And they paid me to do it, so I made money. But it was a journey. It was, there's a pothole. It was, there's something coming at you. You had to learn how to dodge. You have to learn how to move aside. You had to learn how to be aggressive. You had to learn how to keep your mouth shut when it was time to keep your mouth shut. Huh? See? Because if it's not time to talk, it says a word fitly spoken, right? If it's not time to talk, you can screw up a lot of things. But God will work with you, and he will work in your situation if you let him and if you have patience. And this is impatience. Father, I need a job. I said I need a job. That's not patience. You have to learn to wait on the Lord. See? Let him show himself strong on behalf of you. The Bible says his eyes search to and fro, searching on whom he may show himself strong on behalf of. See? hold up your flag and say, here, show yourself strong on behalf of me, Father. And then when he begins to, stay with God until the end. Don't get messed up in the middle of the way. See, Peter started out good, and he started to look back at the circumstances. And what happened? He started to sink. But it's okay to sink. What did he do? He did the right thing. He said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And Jesus is always there to help you. He's always there to help you. Matthew 8, verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. So this is a different situation, but the same type of principle. And behold, there arose a great tempest. Now, a tempest is bad enough, but this was a great tempest. Big storm, mega storm. In the sea, insomuch as the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. That's pretty cool. And disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a what? Yeah. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Look at Hebrews chapter 13. What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Hebrews 13:8. This is what manner of man he is. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. See it? So when you cry unto Jesus, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? That's who you're crying unto. And he's your brother. And he's the same, the Bible says. He's the same Jesus. It's the same God. Malachi 3, verse 6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Mm-hmm. See? But the adversary wants to get us to look at the situation. He wants to get us troubled. They were troubled. He wants to get us agitated. And that's what the devil was trying to do to me. Now, I usually, as a rule, do not bring this to my wife. The way I live my life, and this is just me, has nothing to do with anybody else, and I'm not saying you're right, wrong, or indifferent, or I'm right. I'm just telling you my genetic and physical makeup. I don't bring things like that to my wife. I pride myself on protecting my wife. If the crap's going to hit, it's going to hit me, and it's not going past me to touch my wife or my children. That's the best I do. That's how I live my life. And for me to go to my wife and talk to her about something, I'm troubled. Now, I talk to Chuck. I talk to people, you know, because they're my buds. But I don't want my wife to be burdened with that. I want my wife's life to be as blessed as possible. So, after all these things, you know, I went and I spoke to my wife. You know, and it's not that she gave me such great insight, just the comfort of her being there and getting it off your chest is what I needed. Okay. And we were able to move on with the situation. Look at Isaiah 41. So I'm telling you this morning from experience. Okay, you're going through something, I get it, I go through things too, but I will tell you this, although you're being challenged, that's all it is at the moment, it's a challenge, it's not a failure, it's a challenge, and God will help you, Jesus will help you if you go to them. And you speak his name in authority. And you claim authority over that situation. And if your heart is meek, and you want to change, and you want things going right, then you'll get an answer. So So here's another thing. It would be real easy for me to call Ratso and send them down there with a fungo bat. But that's not the right thing to do. So you have to be able to ask the Father what the answer is, and then you have to do what he tells you to do. And you know how hard it is to keep your mouth shut when you want to strangle somebody? You wouldn't know. You never went to strangle anybody in your life, did you? The guy that sold your car, he said. That would be me. He'll tell you the story if you don't believe me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But you don't want to, you can't do that. Because if you do that, then you get all messed up and you're going down a different road. I'm not telling you it's easy. I'm telling you need to have clarity of mind, and you need to believe God, and you need to just keep overturning stones. And if this, it's not under this one, it'll be under the next one. If it's not under the next one, it'll be under the next one. You have to keep moving. You have to keep looking. You have to keep trying. Because what's the alternative? You're going to quit? Hang your head? No, that's what the devil wants. Isaiah 41, verse 13 says, "For I am the Lord thy God. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." That's a living word. That's a good voice. That's a good word to get from God. He'll grab a hold of your hand and he'll say, "I'll help you." Now you have that available to you. What's going to be bigger than that, that you can't get through? Look at Jeremiah chapter 32. God not only has the ability to help you, he not only has the willingness to help you, but he's able to help you. In Jeremiah 32, verse 27, it says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Right? That's what he says. Jeremiah 32, 27. Is there anything too hard for me? You know, the reason why he's asking you that question is so you engage your brain and think about it. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there for God? No. But, you know, when we go through things and we don't look at God or look towards God, all we do is look at the problem. And when you're looking at the problem, you're not looking at the solution. You're not looking at the one who's going to give you the solution. God can take care of it if you give him a chance. And if you don't give him a chance, then you're going to have to take care of it. No, you don't want to do that. That's not smart. Look at Numbers chapter 23. We just got done reading, "I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" The New International translates Numbers 23:19. "God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill?" Men do that. Men speak and they don't act. Men promise and they don't fulfill. But the scripture says God is not a man. He's not a man. And he doesn't change his mind. And his mind is, "I will hold you by your right hand, and I will say unto you, Fear not, I will help thee." That's what God said in Isaiah. "Fear not, I will help thee." Okay. You know, my my daughter's got these guinea pigs. Two of them. Daisy and Bella. And she had these guinea pigs somewhere else. Because she asked me if she could have guinea pigs. And like any good father, you say what?
No.
No. So she goes and gets guinea pigs and puts them somewhere else. Well, the place that the guinea pigs were got an eviction notice. And so she says, can I bring the guinea pig? Now, they're very diabolical about this. They start like 3 weeks ahead of time. Because you get the eviction notice a month ago. And then they start and say, well, what do you think about these guinea pigs? And, no. What do you think about this room? No. What do you think about that room? No. What part of no don't you understand? And then she cried. And she doesn't cry normally. And I knew that when she cried, her heart was broken. See? And at that moment, Bella and Daisy are upstairs. See, but God is bigger than me. If you say that God can have guinea pigs, he'll say, sure. Because he loves you, and he wants to give for you, and he wants to help you. And if you got a problem and you lay it at the feet of the Father, he'll do for you. He'll bless you. He wants to do for you. It is the Father's good pleasure to bless you. Do you know what that means? As a parent, do you know what it is to give your child something and to see them receive it with thanksgiving to the end of tears and hug you and grab you by the neck and say, thank you, Daddy. That's your good pleasure. She thinks she's getting blessed, or he's getting, no. You're getting blessed more, right, Mom? Mm-hmm. Yeah. When a child reacts like that. That's your good pleasure. It was my good pleasure to be able to provide this for you. Especially when they receive it that way. Sometimes you want to, when they receive things, right? But it's the Father's good pleasure to bless us. He gets so blessed and so full of joy when he's able to give to us. And he's happy that he's able to provide for us and give this to you to bless you. It is his good pleasure when he's able to provide for you the answer to your problem and see you do what he says and bless you. You get blessed, but you don't get blessed more than God. He's just so happy. He's just so thrilled. He's so full of joy that he's able to do that for you. You know. Isaiah 40. Please. I'm going to read this to you out of the English Standard Version in Isaiah 40. So I ask you again, is there anything too hard for God?
No, sir.
No. You got to come back. Come out of the pounding. I sit on the steps and that's what he showed me in my head this morning. I just look out and then he showed me the pounding. And you got to come under the roof where the pounding's not going to come. And the world's not going to come. And the whips aren't going to come. And the words aren't going to come. And the accusations aren't going to come. And the troubles aren't. That's what he said to me. He showed me that. That's what people are going through. That's why we need one another. We need a fellowship. We need a haven so that we can get back on track with God. So we know what direction to go. So when you go back out with a different attitude. You go back out with a second wind. You go back out and you lift your chest up and say, okay, devil, what do you want to do now? Because I belong to the Lord and I'm crying out to Jesus. And you don't have a chance. You're already defeated. I know that now. And that's how I'm going to act. You see? We got to get back on the Word and then move ahead with the Word. The English Standard Version of Isaiah 40, verse 28 reads, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases what? Strength. Even youths shall fail and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not what? Okay. Everybody goes through storms of life. But I want to tell you this morning that we serve a God and we have a Father who doesn't faint. He doesn't weary. And he can do all things. That's who's on our side. We have a God that says to us, is there anything too hard for us? See? We have a God that says to us, fear not, I will help thee. That's a pretty good deal. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4 verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You need to be reminded of that, because the world's going to tell you different. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the circumstance that you're dealing with, or this calamity that you're dealing with, or this relationship that you're dealing with, or these problems that you're dealing with. You got to believe that. And then you have to walk out on it. You have to be bold enough to walk out on it. See? Knowing it up here isn't enough. You have to act that way. You have to apply it in your walk. And not in a sarcastic or haughty or prideful manner, but in a matter of who I am in Christ. And then walk that way. People that don't see signs, miracles, and wonders are people that don't walk that way. They don't believe the Word. They don't believe what the Word says about them. And they don't act the way the Word says they should act. And that's a mundane life. And you won't see anything that way. And the devil will leave you alone pretty much if you just bebop through life that way, because you are of no threat to him. You're not going to help anybody. You're not going to deliver anybody. You're not going to set anybody free. You need to believe what the Word says about you, and then you need to act that way. Look at Isaiah 26. They were troubled when they saw the wind boisterous. It was a great tempest. When Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, he started to sink. But when he reached out to the Lord, he was saved. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And where's your mind got to be? It's got to be on the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what, the way the fight works is this way. The situations and problems that come at you are going to be designed in such a way to take your mind away from looking at the Lord. They want to get your attention. They want you to look at the situation. They want you to look at the problems. They want you to be troubled. They want you to be agitated. And when you're agitated, okay, you cannot respond properly with the Word of God. You can't. So you should have enough brains to realize that the adversary is doing this to you. If you are a person who is given to anger and given to flying off the handle and given to being hot-headed and given to being agitated, you will constantly be defeated for the rest of your life. Because you will not seek God's will and you will not do God's will. Now you may think it upside your head, But you know what? Your actions are telling God something different. Right? Because the devil knows just what button to push with you. And if he pushes that button and you go, guess what? You're way down the trail. You got to stop that stuff. You got to bring your mind back to the Word and be in control of your life. Because if you don't, you will never accomplish God's will in your life. He'll just antagonize you. He'll aggravate you. He'll throw situations and people at you just to agitate you. Because he knows if I can agitate some. Do you ever watch people sit at a bar and say, I'm going to get his goat? I used to bartend. That's what some people do. They were just sitting there, watch, I'm going to get this so-and-so. And get this so-and-so. So much so it would escalate to a fight. Well, who do you think's behind all that? It's the same thing spiritually. He agitates you and agitates you and agitates you, and then you go off acting like a jerk. And not only do you go off acting, it's like a top. Did you ever have them tops when you were little? You spin them, then you let them go. Then what? You know what they do? It's like the Tasmanian devil. They go around bouncing in and devouring everything in its path. So not just you he's agitating. It's everything that you're touching and bouncing into and devouring in your path. So he just sets you free. Who was it? Samson? He tied them foxes together. And what did he do? Set them free, right? And what did they do? They just destroyed everything they came in contact with. Don't let the devil do that to you. You have to, and you know, and it's easy to be calm and collective when we have a whole bunch of the Spirit of God in here, and we got peace, and nobody's coming in holding a gun to our heads, okay? But that sad newsflash, that's not where you live. Some of you live in the state of New Jersey. That's what my brother used to tell me when we would talk about cars and English cars. He said the only thing that ever came good out of England and Britain were the Beatles. The only thing good in New Jersey is tomatoes. That's not true. Everybody likes Jersey tomatoes. But the adversary wants to get to you. How long are you going to let the devil get to you? How old are you? I was at the gym Saturday. That's yesterday. I was at the gym Saturday. I usually don't go to the gym on Saturdays. My back was whacked, though. So I'm going to the gym. There's a boxer there. Bill. He's walking out the door. See you. He says, and I hear somebody say to him as he's walking out the door, behave. Right? He said, I'll behave. He says, I figured it out. And as he's walking out the door, he said, took me 50 years, but I figured it out. And then he gets on a bicycle and drives away. So I'm thinking he got a DUI or something. Right? But what he said, it took me 50 years, but I finally figured it out. Don't be like that. Don't say, it took me 50 years, but I finally figured it out. And you want to know something, if you're just hearing it and it's convicting your heart and it took you 50 years to figure it out, then if you don't fall back into it, then praise God. Praise God. We shouldn't be at the same place we were 10 years ago. We shouldn't be at the same place we were 10 days ago. If we're not moving ahead with the things of God and wanting to get better and wanting to bless and help people, I mean, what are you doing with your life? What am I doing with my life? You know, if I just want to amass wealth and I want to get fancy cars and I want to screw around on my wife and I want to do this and what am I doing with my wife, my life? I'm just wasting it. I'm not kidding anybody. God knows. So we need to grow up. And the best way to grow up is to speak the word. If you speak the truth in love, you grow up into Him. You understand? And if you're going to speak the word, the best way to do that is get someone and help them. Speak the truth to them. Speak the truth, and you'll grow up. Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. When you stay your mind on God, you're trusting in God. If your mind is somewhere else, constantly, you're not trusting in God. It says you stay your mind on God, it shows that you're trusting in God. So remember, it's Jesus whose voice commands nature and every other tempest that you may face in your life. He stands with us and he shelters us from the brunt of the pounding rain, and he speaks peace into our hearts. You might get wet, but he's there and he'll shelter the brunt of it. A storm-tossed sea is no match for Jesus. For with three little words, he calmed it instantly. And he will do the same for you and for me every time if we just turn to him and we trust him. Look at Psalm 103, please. Verse 13. As a father, this is the English Standard. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to him who feared him, to them who fear him. God not only loves you, but God shows compassion to you. And compassion is recognition of something wrong in a person's life, coupled with the sincere desire to help that person alleviate that pressure. That's what compassion is. So when God looks down and sees what you're going through, you know, it's not just you that are going through it. You're God's kid, and he's going through it. Because I want to tell you something. When your kid goes through something, you go through it. What parent in here has a child that's going through something and it doesn't affect them? I want to know the secret to that. And if you have the ability to say, the guinea pigs can come here, that alleviates the problem, right? Well, God has the ability to say, the guinea pigs can come here. Okay? And more. And it's his good pleasure to do so. That's how much he loves us. He has pity on us. He shows compassion to us. He wants to help us. We just need to put ourselves in a position to receive. Let's close in Isaiah 41, please. This is a wonderful verse of scripture. And it's my heart that you would leave here this morning reiterating these great truths that God can do all things, that he's not a liar, that he's the same, he doesn't change, that he has compassion and he will help you, and that it's his good pleasure to help you, that he'll hold you by your right hand and he'll say unto you, fear not, I'm going to help you. Daddy's here. You don't have to worry. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And he's not only our God, but he's our Father. And it's his good pleasure to bless his children. So whatever you're going through, remember, the Father has an answer for your situation. And once he gives it to you, stay patient. And when things change, go back to the Father and say, now this is in this variable. This came into the situation. Things have changed. What do I do now? And he'll direct you. And if something else changes, now this is happening. And stay faithful. Stay patient. And he'll give you an answer. More people lose their answer and blessing from God because they go their own way than anything else I know. With healing, with deliverance, with an answer to your problem, more people self-destruct by not having patience and faithfulness than anything else I know. They want help. They begin the right way. And then they get tricked because the devil sees, he's headed towards God. Now I got to trick him. uh-oh, he's back on course. Now I got to trick him. Because he knows ultimately if you get there, he's leaving. He's getting beat. He's going to lose. So he'll do everything he can to stop you from getting there. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thanks that we can have patience. And after that, we have done the word of God. We have need of patience to see it come to pass. And I ask, Father, that people leave here this morning with a new strength and a renewed confidence in you and a commitment and ability to go to you, Father, knowing that you're going to pick them up wherever they're at and get them cleaned up and set in the right way. And Father, that you will work if we let you work, and that we have faith and we trust in you, Father, and we stay put on the word. In Jesus' name, amen.